Hello, anyone. Again, welcome to a special edition of the DeathDoorProds.com comic book podcast. This is a review cast that we're doing for the Review 52. I don't remember, last week I posted a review of Detective Comics 1, and in it I said that we would be reviewing all 51 other series that came out because I didn't get around to reviewing Justice League 1. So, and since we cannot, obviously, we have lives and shit, I guess. We don't exactly have time to write stuff from all. So we decided anyone we don't get around to writing out, we'll just do this review cast for it. So joining me today, we got Bobby Wong. How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
And we also have with us the other guy who's new and who missed the podcast last week, Aranye, I guess.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Okay, so. So, just for bookkeeping's sake, I guess, what comics did you guys decide to review? Or that I told you to review?
Yeah, well, you go ahead, Bobby One, that's cool.
Alright, I did Batwing, Green Arrow, Men of War, and Static Shock.
Okay, and Aaron Yeh?
I covered, Stormwatch, oh my god, what the hell did I cover? Hawk and Dove, and OMAC number one. And this podcast, I will be actually saying my piece about Justice League International, which I haven't gotten around to reviewing yet.
Okay, and myself, I did Detective Comics 1, Action Comics, Swamp Thing, Animal Man, and Batgirl. So, yeah, let's get into this. So, Aranye, since you're new, you get up first. So, of the three that you did review, which was your favorite so far?
I'm going to have to say my favorite was probably Stormwatch, which was interesting because I've never been a huge, huge fan of Stormwatch in the past. But, I mean, overall, solid issue. Great storyline, great writing, great artwork. Really awesome amalgamation of the Wildstorm universe into the DC continuity. Mm-hmm. If you read my review, it got a 4.5 out of 5. And I think that it has a lot of potential as a series. So definitely one to look out for.
Okay, cool. Bowie?
I'm going to have to say that my favorite of the four was Batwing. I like the artwork as well as the story writing, and definitely the villain is one of the most badass I've seen in a while.
Cool. Okay, so for me, it's kind of a toss-up between Swamp Thing and Action Comics. Because, Swamp Thing, holy fuck, is that kind of dark. every time it cuts away to show, the overarching villain for that little story arc, it is just so fucked up. Okay, spoilers, I guess, for anyone, but what it is, starts out, you just see, a mammoth, the skeleton of a mammoth in the ground, and all of a sudden, wind starts blowing, and then a tornado swings around it, and then it actually forms a body out of that mammoth skeleton. And then the scientists who dug it up, they go out looking for it, because, the bones are gone. So they walk up to it, and then they see this big thing covered in flies, please be careful, I'm a scientist, I can help you. And then all of a sudden, a fly flies into his ear, and then his head turns around, completely, 180 degrees, and breaks his neck and kills him.
Wow, that is dark.
Yeah, and there are two others with him, so then he goes up, slashes their tires, and the flies get in their ears too, so then their head just turn all the way around.
So it's kind of like a rotting sort of villain then sort of deal, kind of the opposite of nature?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, because, Swamp Thing is the green.
Sure, for sure.
He is nature incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
And then Action Comics, God bless Grant Morrison. Okay,
that was the revamp of Superman, wasn't it? That's the one.
Yes. This is Superman. He's out of the farm. He's living in Metropolis. He's doing his Superman thing before anyone really knows what Superman is, and he's a much different character. Like I said, that in the review, but I always thought the old Superman was an asshole because he was always I'll be all you can be, kids, and then try to spider be the best you can. But they can never reach that because the best they can be is him, and no one can be him. So he's just rubbing in your face.
Yeah, you got a point, for sure.
And in this one, he's just an asshole.
Yeah, and I read your review, and I really liked the part you mentioned where when the first time you see him and he's interrogating that guy holding him over the balcony, his head's kind of, you know, in the shadows. You can see his eyes and, like, his heat vision eyes flaring up. And then when he's running from the cop, like you said, he did the whole kind of Spider-Man thing where he's just quipping them and running away. Like, it isn't really a big deal at all. So yeah. I definitely like where that's going as well.
Yeah, like, even when they were talking about, even when he was, like, just talking to the cops, his eyes changed color.
Yeah, I think that was a really really well done from an art perspective, for sure.
Yeah, and just something I gotta ask. So, in all the new DC Comics thing, there's been this woman who keeps appearing. Like, at the end of Flashpoint 5, did you see her in any of your issues?
I did. She appeared, actually, in Stormwatch, I believe, right before or after they confront Apollo. I can't recall. She's actually in the background of an Apollo drawing. Really sketched me out for a second. I didn't recognize the first read through, but on the second read through she does appear. I'll actually just try and flip through and see if I can find her here, but to keep talking, it might take me a while.
Okay, Bobby, you notice her at all?
No, I didn't. I'm gonna have to take another look through though.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, she was also in Justice League 1. I didn't notice that, but like on CBR they had a picture of her. She, like, at the after, like, the Cyborg football game where we're first introduced to Cyborg, she's just kind of standing behind the bleachers.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping they, that's kind of like a, what's it called, a Pavlov's gun, I can't remember, something like that, where you have something inserted in the story, you can see it, but they're saving it for later, obviously, to reveal something, so.
Yeah, it's kind of like Rip Hunter's chalkboard.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that they do something interesting with that, and not just kind of throw it away.
Yeah, like, DC, they've managed to do a pretty good job with that stuff. You know, if they introduce something, they will get to it later, like with what they did with, superheroes coming back to life and stuff. They brought that back in Blackest Night.
Mm-hmm, for sure. No, I think, yeah, they have had a good history of it. Oh, I found her here in Stormwatch. It's after the initial confrontation with Apollo. Mm-hmm. They come back to confront him again, and it's the first panel, and it must be like the 21st page. She's in the background there. So it's right after they move the giant horn that they find in the Himalayas. So cool. She's definitely there. Yeah.
I'm just looking through Batgirl right now, trying to find her. So let's get on with the actual review bit of it. So let's start with Ranier again. Why don't you do your review of Justice League International?
Sure. Like I said earlier, Stormwatch was my favorite launch title that I reviewed so far, but Justice League International definitely brought a lot to the table. Classically, the whole continuation has kind of been pretty campy, kind of like a lighter sort of Justice League. And they kind of stuck with that, but they added a little bit more, which was nice. It's not as campy anymore. The writer, Dan Jurgens, has actually traditionally worked on Green Arrow a lot, and there's a little bit of campiness there as well. So, but I mean, from an art perspective especially, you got your big-muscled, shiny superheroes. It's not overly creative, but it's solid. It definitely gets the job done. I like the story. I really like Batman's role in it because he was initially not included as part of the team. The United Nations setting up the team didn't want him part of the team because they wanted a team they could control. But he kind of just sticks himself in there anyways and just flies them all in the jet without being invited. So I really liked Batman's role in that. Booster Gold's kind of always been one of my closet favorite superheroes just because he's such a douche. Like, mm-hmm. He's so full of himself, and he's just out for fame and money and women. And I mean, I think it's really funny that they include a hero like that in a publication like this, and they make him the leader of the team. So he's classic Booster Gold, which is nice to see. You got a real good mix of the old team there, and I believe they bring in a couple new ones. Especially, I noticed August General and Iron was definitely not part of the old Justice League International, but I've always had a thing for August General and Iron just because, the name is incredibly badass, and his background story is really cool, you know, Chinese special ops. So Overall, I liked the issue. Not my absolute favorite. If I had to give it a number rating out of 5, again, I'd probably give it a 4. I was going to say maybe 3.5, but they had some really funny political dialogue in between Rocket Red and August General and Iron, who are obviously the representatives of Russia and China, respectively. And I thought that was pretty good, too. So that bumps it up to a 4 for me. So solid issue overall.
Cool. So I'm just wondering, Ted Kord, like, is he still dead? Did, like, Infinite Crisis still happen?
From what I can tell, they've seemed to just kind of started fresh, totally wiped the slate. It doesn't appear like any of these superheroes have kind of had too much to do with each other before. You know what? Blue Beetle was actually rejected from the team. They actually said, you know, no newbies, which I thought was weird because Blue Beetle and Booster Gold have obviously worked together pretty closely in the past. But as far as I can tell, he's alive. They did have a picture of Blue Beetle, who I assumed to be Ted Kord. Could be wrong, but not a big appearance from him. So can't really tell you if they're avoiding the old timeline or not.
Okay, cool. So 4 to 5 for JLI.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay. So, just get some paper and write this shit down.
I thought, just as an extra little note at the end, the inclusion of Godiva as a character kind of made me laugh, because I forget the technical name for her superpower, but she basically controls her hair. And, I mean, come on. But, I don't know.
She was in Lois Lane and the Resistance, I think. For Flashpoint. I think she was like a big part of Lois Lane and the Resistance for Flashpoint.
I haven't finished Flashpoint yet, unfortunately. I'm kind of just going off of the assignments here, so I'll let you know when I'm finished that. But
okay, so 4 to 5, solid rating. Moving on. Which two ones have you not reviewed, which are you going to review now?
I guess I'll start off with Men of War. This one's it's kind of interesting. Definitely it has a good artwork feel to it, sorry. Very dark, gritty. Not a whole lot of realism considering the subject matter, soldiers. But good look to it. Basically, you've got standard soldiers in these extreme situations, because they're in the DC universe, and you get to see how they view it. For example, Corporal Rock, he gets put onto this new team, which they don't actually explain what this team is, just that they're better than the regular military.
They're and, top men.
Yeah. And they have this superhero who's apparently on their side, but basically ends up just in the crossfire of everything, killing like half his squad. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Otherwise, it's pretty much, you know, a lot of army stuff. A lot of army guys doing army stuff, and that's cool. It's not really what I read comic books for, but it's cool, I guess. Fair enough.
Cool.
So I'd say it's a good 3.5.
Okay. So, what else you got?
Static Shock.
I miss Static Shock.
Yeah, that was a weird show.
I kind of got into it, not going to lie. Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, kind of.
No, that's all right. I found Static Shock just a wee bit annoying. Because all you're constantly reading on the pages are scientific explanations for what he's doing. And it just goes really overboard, so you're like reading like half a novel just to understand what he's doing to do this cool superpower looking thing. And well, with the other ones, I found the lack of intricate backstory a little bit refreshing, so you don't have to get this huge long explanation about how they became who they are. With Static Shock, it's not quite as likable because he's coming from his previous storyline. He's moved cities, and so there's all these characters he's interacting with, and me being new to the series, I had no idea what was going on whatsoever. You know, artwork is standard fare, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a comic book.
Yeah. Like I said, the storyline probably would have made a lot more sense had I read the previous series. The only thing that made sense was the really bad disarmed joke at the end. I gotta say, it's a bad joke.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it is supposed to be a relaunching, like it is a number one, right? So that's a fair point that if it doesn't make a lot of sense to a new reader, you know, that is a detrimental point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not bad, it's not great. I'd say it's a three.
Okay. Static Shock, three. Okay, so, and for the ones that, I guess, move on to me. So for the ones that I have not reviewed, I was supposed to review Batgirl and Animal Man, and I haven't got around to those, so let's do those now. So let's start out with Batgirl. So a big thing, like, I just read The Killing Joke recently. By the way, fucking awesome.
Agreed.
So, like, now that they're bringing Barbara Gordon back, like, a lot of people, including myself, started worrying, like, would The Killing Joke be taken out of continuity? Mm-hmm. But it isn't. Barbara Gordon still got shot, she still got paralyzed from the waist down, she still got all those horrible pictures taken from her, but the spinal damage was not permanent.
Huh.
She was paralyzed for 3 years, and then she started getting a feeling back in her legs. So
it's a miracle!
Yes. Yeah. So now she's back in... So now she's back in Batgirl. She's, And, well, it's basically, what's happening is there's kind of like this side story going on where there's this guy called the Mirror who's like going around, who's like a list of people just going around taking them out one by one. Like, he just rips open his coat and then they just see something. They just start freaking out and then he just kills them in a really horrible way. Like the first guy he kills, he just shoves a sort of like garden hose down his throat and then just drowns him with it.
Wow. Yeah, they're taking a dark turn, apparently.
Well, yeah, she's part of the Bat family.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying I wasn't expecting it. I'm just saying I'm really happy they're getting creative with it.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so then we got Batgirl. She's back doing her thing. There's like a group of killers out there, Brisby killers. There, I'm like picking people off randomly from the phone book. She, you know, comes in, takes them out. And there's this whole bit before there. It's like tonight I'm not the commissioner's daughter. Tonight I'm not Barbara Gordon. Tonight I am Batgirl, because I'm not sure if she actually did the whole Oracle thing. Mm-hmm. So I think there's like some kind of disconnect between her being Barbara and being Batgirl.
That's fair. Any mention of Bruce?
Bruce? No, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's part of the Bat family without mentioning Batman at all.
Huh. That's an interesting take. Suppose we'll see if they decide to include him later.
Probably because, you know, Batgirl, Batman, you know, it's kind of a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so art styles, in terms of art style, it's really good. I really like it. There's not much in terms of, like, violence, but... Because, you know, I'm a big fan of violence. But the art style manages to, like, do, like, looks really good. Like the artwork they've done on her costume, it's just, it's like everyone else's, it's much more armor than costume.
Right.
Which I've been really liking about it.
Practical.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes, but it just leaves me to wonder kind of, where are all these people who, like, don't have the Batman budget or like the Superman tech that came with them in the alien ship, getting the money to make armor.
Right.
But yeah, and
No, Batman just goes around handing out money for new superheroes.
True.
It's kind of his thing.
Yeah, true.
It's like the I'm actually, now, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, I just wanted to go back to the Batwing thing for 1 second. just wondering, is that kind of the whole new sort of thing that, was posited by him, where he's kind of like putting in a representative of him in like kind of everywhere he can in the world? Like, is that kind of his African counterpart?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Is Batwing is the African Batman. So Batman's gone there. He's been training him. He's bought him all this tech, and he's basically setting it up so there can be someone there while he's off in other places doing other things.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to know. I couldn't remember if he was actually connected to Batman or not, so.
I'm guessing, I think it's like part of their whole spinoff thing with the Batman Inc. stuff.
Right. Yeah. That was at the end of that Lost in Time thing, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, just after him. Yeah, Bruce, he gets back from being a caveman, then a pirate, then a cowboy, then a...
Right. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, that was all good. Right.
Okay. That was good. I really liked that.
Yeah, so, and just with the Killing Joke stuff, there's some really, like, later issue stuff where, like, you actually see that some of the damage done by the Joker was not just physical. Like, she actually kind of just freezes up and has, like, a mental spasm, like, freaking out for a couple seconds when someone points a gun at her.
Hmm.
Showing that, like, you know, the Killing Joke is still continuity, and it will still play an important part in what defines that, what defines her as a character.
I'm glad they're still paying homage to that. That's a pretty important issue, and I'm glad they decided not to disregard it.
Yeah, so good. Are you crazy? We'll just turn off the flashlight and have it halfway across. so good. So, yeah. So, Batgirl. It's got a lot going for it. It's got really great art. Barbara Gordon back. I really like her as a character. It's going to... It's, like I said, really great art. It's got some really interesting stuff going in it with the like her mental issues with the Killing Joke stuff, and just with the mirror. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing where they go with him and what he actually has to do with the story. So give this issue 4 to 5.
Oh, right on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of the new Batman villains. They're always pretty much the craziest.
Well, yeah, of course, because you know if you're gonna be fighting Batman, you gotta be fucking crazy.
Gotta bring it to a whole nother level.
Yes. And bring it to a how nada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now Animal Man. So this is kind of weird, because like on the DC Source blog they have like a list of all the series that they have coming out and like categorize them. So they got like the Superman stuff, they got the Batman stuff, and then they have the Dark. And Animal Man was part of the Dark. And I wasn't sure, like, what to think of it, but, you know, written by Jeff Lemire, who, I fucking love that guy, he's writing Sweet Tooth, and he wrote this other thing called Essex County, which, you know...
Yeah,
really like that. I don't remember who the art's by, just give me a sec to look that up. But, yeah, it starts out, so at this point, Animal Man, Bucky, whatever, Buddy Baker. Okay, so art by... Travel Foreman. Great name. Okay, so at this point, Buddy Baker has, like, outed himself as Animal Man. And he's also starting some movies. Like, he's starting a movie event with some other people. And it's actually really cool, because at the start of this thing, it's like an article that he did an interview with like, some guy in some fake magazine. And the intro to the article is written by a reporter named Jeff Lemire.
Huh.
So basically what it is him, he's just trying to get back to his life, balancing being an activist, because now he's like an animal rights activist, and being a superhero with his like thing out there. And things aren't going so well, because like the thing that he goes to stop like a hostage situation at a hospital, because they think that because this guy who's there but like lost his daughter, and he thinks the hospital still has her. So he goes in there, he does his little animal thing, you know, brings on the powers. But then his eyes start bleeding.
Hmm.
And the doctors can't figure out why they don't, and Buddy doesn't know either, because he says he's never felt stronger. And then it gets weird. I won't explain how, but dream sequence.
Okay. Those are usually pretty interesting when you portray them in a comic book, so I believe you when you say it's weird.
And so, let's move on to the art. I am not a fan of the art. Like, at some points it looks great. Like, when he's doing his whole animal thing, like, so everything just goes red for a second. He summons the powers, and then it's just kind of, like, weird fluid animation, so it kind of looks like Colin Fjord in The Chronicles of Riddick, where just, like, him kind of ghosting after himself. But at other times, it looks like anime by way of Rage comics.
Yeah, like, can't really look great. No, I wouldn't imagine that's good.
Yeah, like his daughter at one point just like screams for her dad, like, "Dad, help me!" Just like her eyes do that weird X thing that they do in anime, but it's all really scratchy and looks terrible. And like when they first introduce his wife, it looks like her face is like collapsed in on the bridge of her nose.
That's not bad artwork. He just has, you know, very particular tastes.
yeah, but it's overall, I really like the issue. It's got Like I said, the art style works at some points, but other times it's just kind of bleh. But it's got a really interesting story. I really like the angle that they're going for. But the one thing I'm worried about is the, like, Messiah syndrome that everything written by Jeff Lemire seems to have at some point.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if this has already been coined, but if it isn't, coining it right now, motherfuckers.
Fair enough. It's on record.
Yes, but, like at some point during Sweet Tooth, but all of a sudden just started alluding to the idea that Gus, the antler, like the deer antlered main character boy, is actually like the new Jesus. Mm. Like his dad was a scientist, but then he wrote a Bible, like basically saying that, you know, these, you know, like that the animal children are becoming like maybe like the ruler of the world and they are the new gods or something. And Gus is their leader, I guess. And then with how this issue ends and where it goes with his family, with his kids, with one of his kids specifically, I have a feeling that it could go there again. And I am not looking forward to when that happens unless it makes for some horrible violence, then by all means. So
everything's fine as long as people are getting decapitated.
Yes, my little girl's at that.
Yeah, well, as a preview for next week, if you like that, read Deathstroke. I'm reviewing that one next week. You're gonna like that one if you appreciate decapitation.
Oh, I have no doubt. Motherfucker, Deathstroke.
Yeah, but I'm not even gonna start right now. I don't want to give anything away, but it's solid.
Uh-huh. So, for Animal Man, I give it a 4 out of 5. You should definitely check it out.
Right on.
Okay, so now to give people what's coming up for this week in comics, let's just give a rundown of what each of us is going to be trying to review before next week. So, Aranye, you go first.
All right, so I got up bright and early this morning, headed down to the comic book shop. I'm reviewing Deathstroke number 1, Legion Lost number 1, Mr. Terrific number 1, and Superboy number 1. And I've read 3 of the 4 already, and they're looking pretty promising so far.
Okay, cool. Bobby?
I'm pulling a brain-dead moment right now. I'm not remembering which ones are on my list, as I was going to be downloading them first thing tomorrow morning. I mean, buying them.
It's from legal comic vendors.
Yes.
At a store.
It's the only way to do it. Come on. So how about the local sports team?
Yeah, that one player they have is really good at that sport.
He's really doing his job well, I guess.
Yes, remember that one thing he did with that in that sport that he does?
I do recall.
Yes. That other sports team don't got shit.
All right, I'm out of filler. Hurry up.
Okay. I seem to remember I was doing a lot of... Yeah. I'm totally missing which ones I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay, what's that beeping?
That's my alarm telling me to go get my laundry.
Okay, so while you go do that, I will try to
remember. I was pretty sure I was doing a lot of Green Lantern stuff, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so then let's go with that. You're doing Green Lantern 1, Red Lanterns, Resurrection Man, and Suicide Squad. Let's go with that.
Perfect, I'll do it.
Oh, no, wait, no. No, I'm doing Resurrection Man, you can do Frankenstein.
Okay, I think that was almost exactly my list anyways.
Okay, then for me, I guess I'm going with Batman and Robin, Batwoman, Demon Knights, Grifter, and Resurrection Man.
All right. Right on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Demon Knights. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's getting all up in that shit.
Right on.
And it's got a sword.
Yeah, just seeing the cover I passed by this morning in the shop, and it looks pretty sweet, so that one's probably, hopefully anyway, it's going to be
one to watch. Yeah, I hope it's good. And I really hope the art sells like the cover, because that cover is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's the problem with the whole pumping out comic books, so is you can't really get into artwork that detailed. You'd never get them out in time. So hopefully they found a guy who's really good at what he does, is doing it really fast.
Yeah, hopefully. But I think this is like a monthly series. So
hopefully then, yeah, they'll be able to keep it up. That'd be nice.
Yeah, so I guess Bobby is out.
Sounds good.
Okay, so and that is it for this week. Next week, We will have more on the stuff that we did not review review this week, as well as the regular scheduled podcast.
Which I will hope.
Yes, hopefully. So, until next week, for Bovi, I'm Dead.
And I'm Aaron J.
See you next time.